since we are on the subject of the Lord's Supper, I decided I would preach from one event that took place that night that Christ was in the upper room, which began by having a Passover supper. At the close of the Passover supper, Christ inaugurated or started what we just had as the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to look at a story in the Bible concerning the Lord's Supper. Start with the book of Luke. We're going to go to John. Let's start in the book of Luke, in the 22nd chapter. The story is concerning the Lord's Supper now. Let's begin with verse 14, chapter 22 of Luke. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down with the 12 apostles. Now, they're in the upper room. Preparation had been made for the Passover supper. Jesus said to them, I have a desire to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Talking here about going to the cross. We're only hours now away from the crucifixion. And he said, I'm not going to eat with you anymore until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Likewise, he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now, the disciples did not know that anyone was even thinking about betraying Jesus. That was a bad decision. They didn't know it. But Jesus announced this, somebody here at this table is my betrayer. Now, he knew who it was. They did not. Truly, the Son of Man is going away, as it has been determined by the betrayer. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And so the disciples began to ask among themselves, who is the guilty betrayer? Now I want to go over to the book of John and just continue our story there because John talks about the same thing. John 13:23. I remember when we left off in Luke, they were asking each other, who is the betrayer? Now verse 23. Sitting next to Jesus was this disciple that we're now speaking about. It's one of the strange statements in the Bible. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. And here's a strange statement, whom Jesus loved. Now we get the picture that this disciple is leaning over on the breast of Jesus. And undoubtedly Simon Peter was sitting next to this disciple. And he leans over to this disciple and says, why don't you ask him who it is? We've been asking each other, hey man, are you the guilty betrayer? And nobody confessed. And so Peter says, hey, you're the one that Jesus loves. That mean you got the inside track on his ear? Anyway, he said, why don't you ask him? Why didn't Peter ask him? Or Bartholomew? Or Matthew? Why did any of them ask him? But he whispered to this disciple, why don't you ask him, who it is? And so he then, lying on Jesus' breath, he sort of leaned over, I guess, and said, Lord, tell me who it is. Who is it? Then Jesus gave an answer. It is he to whom I'm about to stick the bread in the juice. I'll interpret this for you. That's not what the Bible said. It said, I will give a salt. That's what he means. He's going to stick the bread in the juice. See? My daddy used to stick cornbread and milk. I never liked that stuff like that. But that's what he did. He'd soak it up like a sponge and he'd eat it, you know. Well, that's what you were doing there. He was sticking the bread in the juice and he'd go soak it up. So he said, it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped. That is, when I've dipped it in. Then when he dipped the sop in, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Of course, that's the betrayer. The thing I want to dwell on, though, is this disciple, the Bible says, Jesus loved. The first thought that always comes to my mind is, well, didn't Jesus love the rest of them? Did John? And I just told you it was because John is the one that wrote the book that you're reading from. And in this book, this is mentioned two times, the disciple that Jesus loved. John is talking about himself, which is quite a statement to say. Of course, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And we don't get excited about that. If I walk up to you and I say, hey, you know, Jesus loves me, we don't get excited about that. Big deal. But it seems strange to read in the Bible, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I don't think John was saying that Jesus did not love the other 11 disciples. But my question is, what made John think Jesus loved him at all? What made John think Jesus loved him at all? What kind of love did Jesus have for John that made John say this? There are two songs that are very popular in the church. One is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And the other is, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, which is primarily considered to be a children's song. One states, I love Jesus. The other states, Jesus loves me. I don't think a lot of us really understand what is meant by love. What do you mean when you say Jesus loves you? What do you mean when you say you love Jesus? What does that mean? Love is a word that you find very often in the Bible in many, many places. Actually, it's the central focus of the greatest commandment that Jesus said is in existence. That's in Mark 12:30, if you want to turn back there now. Mark 12:30. Most of you know this verse by heart as soon as I start reading it. And thou shalt love, there's that word now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And that is the first and the greatest of all commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, Jesus implies that love involves four things. It involves my heart, and that's not the thing that pumps the blood. But it involves my mind, it involves my soul, and it involves my strength. I wonder how many people can really love with their mind, heart, soul, and strength. Now, I think John was saying, Jesus loves me with his mind, his heart, his soul, and his strength. I believe that's what he was saying. Let me put it another way. As I thought about this and rethought about this and thought about this again and again and again, it began to dawn on me that there are two levels of love. It's the first time I ever realized this. And you may not agree with it, because the first time I realized things is sort of strange. And this may be strange to you, but there are two levels of love. And I hope that you can follow me in these as we go through them. I think a lot of folks find it difficult to love on either one of the levels. Now, the second level is much harder than the first level. It's my intention or my conviction that anybody can love on the first level. I don't care who you are. But it's not quite as easy to love on the second level. I believe John was saying, Jesus loves me on both levels of love. To put another way, there was a total love. And that's what God means when he says love him with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is a total love, undivided love. If you love on level one, you have an undivided, or you have a divided love. You don't really love God fully, or anybody else. And by the way, these two levels of loves don't just apply to God, but they apply to everybody. Now, what's level number one? It's just simply this. Thou shalt love with all thy mind and thy strength. I'm dividing these in two. You shall love with all your mind and with all your strength. Some boy says, boy, I love that girl. And you say, well, why? Why do you love her? I don't know about all of them. That's in his head, you know. You may call it puppy love, but it's in his head. He can't tell you why, but why he just loves her. From my mind comes thoughts of compassion. If I see a little dog get hit, or say, once in a while we got a dog, I don't think anybody loves him but us. Anyway, or her, it's a her, you know. Anyway, she hates for you to touch your toenails. I mean, she goes into orbit when you do that. And so, they just get longer and they get longer and they get longer. A lot of women like long toenails. She likes long toenails or fingernails. They get so long they get crossed. Then she can't walk. She goes around hobbling until we come and uncross her toenails for her. Now, when I see the dog hobbling, I know what's wrong with it. But in my mind, there's a thought that says, why don't you have compassion on the poor dog and help her out? You know what's wrong with her. Now, that's love from the mind. The thought comes to me, you can love that dog. At the same time, the dog can say, go ahead and kick her. You know? Now, that would be in my mind too, but that wouldn't be love. So love can be in my mind. It's the thought of concern or compassion for someone who needs something. I don't care who it is. Could even be a strange dog with crossed toenails. It wouldn't make any difference. The thought hits your mind, you can help that trouble thing. Well, there's one thing required for my mind to carry out its compassion. There's strength involved, or there must be a sacrifice made by me of time and energy and effort to help the person for whom I have had compassion. Very simple logic. Thou shalt love with thy mind and with thy strength. If I love you in mind, it takes strength to love you in deed. I must cross the street, or I must come to you, I must give some money, I must do something which is expression of sacrifice on my part to care about you. Now, I believe a lot of people even have trouble with loving in level one. The main reason is they're just, to be honest with you, selfish. So your toenails are crossed, who cares? So you got a problem, who cares? So you got a pain, who cares? I can't be bothered. Now, some people can't even love on level one. And that's safe. But anytime I see a need, then I can love you on level one. I don't want to go around and say to your wife, hey, honey, I love you on level one. She wouldn't know probably what you're talking about unless she was here this morning. Now, I can think of many ways that I can love you on level one to bring some joy into your life. Just walk up to a kid that's crying and offer him a piece of bubble gum. That's just loving on level one. If somebody drops the groceries on the way out of the parking lot or in the parking lot of the car, you stop and help them pick them up, that's love on level one. Somebody drops their change at the counter and you help them pick it up and not keep it but give it back to them, that's love on level one. Don't charge them for it. Anything that I can do to put a smile on your face, the thought comes from my mind, then the deed from the energy of my body, my strength is given. I love you on level one. I can feed the hungry on level one. I can visit the sick. We do this every Monday night. We go up there, some do it, see the people in the hospital, and most of them are delighted that we've come. Didn't have to do it. Nobody pays us to do it. Nobody even knows we do it. Most times, very few ever think you do it. But the point is, that doesn't make any difference. You can go to anybody in the hospital that's lonely and sad and say, hey, I want to love you on level one. I'm here. I care about you. How you feeling? Let's have a little prayer. Anything I can do for you, give me a ring. That's loving somebody on level one. You can do that with anybody. You see, anybody, all it costs you is a little compassion in your mind and a little strength in your life. That's all it costs. Anybody that can think, a lot of folks seemingly can't think, but if you can think, then you can love somebody on level one. You can think of a thousand ways to care for people. What would my wife like to have tomorrow? Well, if you write down something she'd like to have, that's loving your wife tomorrow on level one. All you got to do is whatever is necessary. If it means fix the kitchen sink, you fix the kitchen sink. Well, it may cost you some energy. Well, it is going to cost you some energy. It's going to cost you some strength. Yes, it will cost you some strength. There is sacrifice involved in level one love. No doubt about it. But you can do it. If you want to. All right? I don't think there's any possibility if you're honest, for level one love to ever go out of a marriage. Now, I didn't say about level two, but I say level one love can always stay in a marriage. But somebody say, well, I just don't love my husband anymore. That's not, well, you may be true for you. It shouldn't be. You can always love a husband on level one. You say, well, he always makes me a servant. That's true, but you can still do it. And I'm telling you what love is on level one. I can even love my enemies on level one. I mean, even though you despise me and curse me and do all sorts of evil against me, I can still pull you out of the water if you're drowning if I want to. I can still love you on level one. You can't stop me from loving you on level one. You may tell me to never say another prayer for you, but you can't stop me. I can still do it. As long as I have a thought in my mind to do something for you, I can do it. I can love anybody in the world I want to on level one. Because all it requires is a compassionate thought and the expenditure of some of my strength to carry out. That's all that's involved. As long as I can give you something that will bring joy and delight and pleasure to your life, I have loved you on level one. Now, who is it that can't do that? Anybody can do that. Now, I want to say something here that maybe you'll take offense at, but I believe love on level one is what Jesus has for the unsaved people. I believe love on level one is what John 3:16 is talking about. For God so loved the world, very unlovely world, so unlovely that when God sent His Son, they killed Him. But God said, I'll love them no matter what they do to me. They may blaspheme my name, but I'll love them anyway. For God so loved the world that He gave the world a gift it didn't even want, but it needed. Maybe a wife would give a husband a boy or a life boy, not because he wanted, because he needed. Didn't ever take a bath. But the point is, God so loved the world that He gave the sinner level one love. He, in his mind, said, this man out here is doomed, he's lost, he's perishing, he needs somebody to rescue him. He's drowning, going down for the last time. He needs somebody to help him. And then He put out the strength, literally on the cross, His entire life, strength was gone, that He might be able to give that gift to man of salvation. Now, that's loving man on level one. John was saying, oh, but Jesus loves me more than level one. Now, there are a lot of people that you can love on level one that never will like you. They won't even give you the time of day. I mean, I could fix the flat of my enemy, and he could spit on my face and kick me when I put the hubcap back on. Never will like me. Now, I've loved him, but I didn't change him any. And I can keep on loving him if I want to on level one. Now, that's the way God is. The sinner mistreats God. He kicks him. He curses him. And God just keeps right on loving him. Giving him sunshine and rain and air and heartbeats. He just keeps on loving him. But on level one. And that sinner may never love God back. He may die and he may perish. But Jesus said, I loved him on level one. John said, I know something about the love of God that level one folks don't know. I believe you can make a marriage last on level one love. Bar the blissful marriage, the wonderful marriage, is one enters into level two. Let me say once again, I can love anybody I want to on level one. I can do it. And you can do it. All you have to do is love them with your mind and with your strength. You can do that. Now, what's level number two? Thou shalt love the Lord, or thou shalt love man, or thou just shalt love with all thy heart and thy soul. That's a different kind of love. A different kind of love. And it's when this aspect of love enters the picture that the word J-O-Y comes in. There is joy in love when he gets to this point, but not till he gets to this point. You see, when I love with my heart and I love with my soul, you have devotion and you have emotion getting into the picture. I can love my dog with the cross toenails without any devotion or emotion. I just do it. I don't feel anything about it. I don't get a real kick out of it. I don't get all enthralled over it. I don't jump with joy over it. I don't shout hallelujah over it. I don't do anything. I just do it. It's kind of emotionless love. I've done something nice, and that's it. But I'm not touched. In level two, something happens within me. And I find that in what I am doing, I find great desire, great happiness, great satisfaction, great joy. You say to people, well, I can love you on level one and not even like you. And that's true. That's true. I can love you and I don't even like you. That's how you love the enemy. I don't like him, but I love him. I'll give him bread when he starves, but I don't like him as a person. But I love him in my mind and in my strength. But on level two, my love takes on the aspect of liking somebody. Liking somebody. I think joy is one of the strongest emotions that we have. Level one, I just love you. And level two, I enjoy you. There's a big difference, folks. Level one, I love you. I'll be kind to you. And level two, I enjoy you. John was saying, Jesus enjoys my company. He enjoys me sitting close to him. He enjoys me talking to him. He enjoys being with me. There was something different about John and Judas. Judas didn't even have level one love. John was saying, Jesus has level one and two love. And so do I. You ever watch little kids? The kids that really get a joy out of the person that's the leader of the school is the one that's the closest to them. They've got something about that person that most of the kids don't have. Somehow to that little child, he begins to sense there is a second level of love. The Bible calls it the apple of the eye. And when you have a marriage like that, folks, you've got a great, fantastic marriage. I want you to compare Psalms 5:4. You have your Bible. And then we're going to look at Psalms 149:4. So we want to look at two of them together. Okay, let's go back to Psalms 5:4. You are not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Another word for joy is pleasure. I think God has emotions. One of God's emotions is joy. Or, put another way, pleasure. God does not have pleasure in wickedness, and neither shall evil dwell with him. God has no pleasure, second level love, for the unsaved man. Does not have it. Let's go over here to Psalms 149:4. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, the thing that begins to make us a pleasure is salvation. Following that, I believe God has a love for me and for you that he does not have for unsaved people. John loved Jesus, but Jesus loved John, I believe, unlike Jesus loved Judas. I believe he loved Judas, level one, but he loved John, level two. That's an interesting thought. I believe God loves us greater than he loves the unsaved man. Level one says, Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's level one love. Now, I can do what pleases you. If that'll make you happy, that's level one love. I can do that. But there's another dimension. Look at Psalms 37:4. People say, well, if I just keep his commandments, that's enough. That's level one love, folks. That's not enough. Look at Psalms 37:4. I don't want just level one love, do you? Look at verse 4. Here is the other side of the coin, level two love. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight's an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Pleasure is an emotion. John said, Jesus loves me. Level one and level two. He cares for me, but he delights in me. He delights in me. Jesus not only wants us to keep his commandments, he also wants us to be happy with him. As I've often said, he wants you to be a satisfied customer. Well, look at Isaiah 58. And I'll close with this. Now, it's not time to close this. I'll close with this one. How do you delight? How do you prove you delight in a person? How do you prove that you get joy from being with a person? It used to be when I dated that the girl sitting next to the boy, she delighted him. So against the door, she didn't delight him. It's that simple, you see. How do I show somebody I delight in them? John said, I like to be near Jesus. How near? He touched him. That's pretty close. How near? You want to get to somebody. Now, if I'm to love of the Lord on level two, I got to get pretty close. Now, how do I get close? How do I show the Lord I delight in him on level two? Verse 13, chapter 58 of Isaiah. Isaiah 58, 13. God says to the people here, and I'm just going to put this in here, people, why don't you love me on level two? Then he says, here's how you show me that you get great delight out of me. Here's how I can know you. You get joy out of me. If you'll turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my day, and you'll turn around and say, I delight in the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? It's the day I get together with God. It's the day we talk about him. He said, if you'll just call the Sabbath a delight, if you'll get all excited over that, then he says, I'll know you delight in me. You tell a grandkid, we're going over to see granddaddy. Oh boy, let's go. First one in the car. How do I know that child delights in granddad? First one in the car. First one out. First one to see granddad. Very simple. No problem. That's second level love. If I delight to be with the Lord, to be around the Lord, then that is proof of second level love. John was saying, Jesus likes to be with me. He likes to talk to me. We like to do things together. He's interested in me. He's not a bore. I'm not a bore to Jesus. I'm not a pain in the neck to Jesus. He doesn't want to hurry up and leave when I come around. He doesn't say, uh-oh, here comes John. Let's go. But he wants to be with me. That's second level love. See, when you see an old couple up in their 40s, that's not old, is it? I'm getting old. That wasn't love at all, was it? That wasn't even first level love. I'm hitting on 50. That's a shame I said that. All right. When they're up, say in their 50s and 60s, you know, and they're still holding hands and kids, make, look at that. Hey, kids, that's second level love, brother. If you can still hold hands when you're 50, you've gained a lot. Huh? You've gained a lot. You can hold hands on first level, but I tell you, about 50 years in marriage, it's going to be second level. It's going to be second. I like to be around them. The only thing bad about second level love, people, and I'll close with this, is when that other partner dies.
When Jesus died, John almost went berserk. His life was over. That's the sad thing about second level love. You like to be with a person so much that you just can't think of being separated. But that second level love, Jesus can't think of no more horrible thought than the thought to be separated from you and from me. Nothing would pain him more. Why? John says, because he loves me. He loves me on the second level. You know, it's hard for me to comprehend that Christ would love me that much. That's honestly. I can't understand it. But you don't base second love level on a person deserving it. You just find that you emotionally and devotionally want to be with that person. And that's what Jesus has for John and for you and for me and for all his children. And that's what we ought to have for him, is that second level love. A delight to be where he is and be with him. Your attendance tells a great story to them, devotion on the second level love. Father, we're thankful this morning for those who've come, for their attention. But most of all, we're thankful for that love that you have for us, just like John discovered you had for him. Help us to comprehend just how much you really do enjoy our presence. That you like to be with us. That's why you said you'd never leave us. Not because you have to, but because you want to be with us. We're thankful again this day for those who come. May our hearts be touched. And may there come a joy in our life that we can delight in just being with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.